Continuing our study on stress, anxiety, and depression. First thing we need to do is I want to let you know, those of you here, I heard from Dallas Seminary and the ownership who own the property that we probably will be able to stay here after September the 30th, if we wish, for $500 a month, which is pretty reasonable. So we'll probably talk about that Sunday and see how people feel about it. However, having said that, they also were right up front and let me know that they do have an offer on the board right now for the property that is serious to them. They had one that they just laughed at, but this one looks serious. So they are thinking about doing that and taking that one. So this may be a non-issue by the end of September anyway. But that's what we'll talk about and see what we want to do in that respect. Whether we do it here, give me a little volume, please, a little feedback. Whether we do it here or wherever we move to, how many of you, I know there's not many of you here tonight, but how many of you, there's a book in the Bible called
Obadiah.
How many of you know what Obadiah is about? Let's go Matthew. How many of you know what Matthew, the flow of Matthew? How about Jude? Okay, now comes the important question. You forgot because you were a long time ago. I'd like to teach some of these things, not in a verse by verse, but grasping these books, much like we did verse by verse, but reading through and seeing what each chapter was about. I don't want to do it if nobody's going to be there, though. And I'm thinking about, since we're already come on Sunday morning, study and just take some books that people are interested in. And we'll probably start it with Daniel, since Daniel is important to our study in Revelation. It will be important. And I'll even let y'all tell me what books you have an interest in, and we'll do it. We need to get back to some Bible studies and Bible teaching. We're doing two books now, two books in a series, and John and Revelation and stress, anxiety, depression. But if there's an interest, and if there's not, then fine, meaning in your life, to know what these books are about and how they fit into the total plan of what God is doing, then I would that kind of study as a scripture in the Bible. So be thinking about that, of what you'd like to do or not. Let's begin with a word of prayer to the ministry of the Holy Spirit to teach us the things that we have before us and what the passages and the things that we're looking at before us. Let's pray. Life so often, Heavenly Father, can become so overwhelming. Some people make it through life and seems like but a multitude of people, Christians, have a great deal of challenges and things that happen in their life. Yet, Heavenly Father, how to live a life free, not of the things that happen in life, but free of stress, anxiety, depression, distress. Father, we pray that you will guide us again tonight as we note these things in Scripture, how it's all through Scripture of stress and depression and anxiety, if we will keep ourselves oriented to the things above and things eternal. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. For Christ's sake, various classes of this study, where things that happen in our childhood, things where our parents are abusive, parents control, parents call children abused sexually, verbally, all kinds of things happen, and it affects your person's entire life. The things that happen in life that either antagonize and build upon from childhood or in life itself that bring a great deal of stress and depression, people, marriages, the breakdown of marriage, breakdown of desires and dreams and hopes, failures, sins. All these things start mounting on people's lives, and stress and depression become part of their daily life. Things that happen in the work world, society right now in our country, are being laid off. Almost weekly we hear of more and more thousands, not just few, being laid off. It means a great deal of them, especially Christians, about their life, about their job, where they have been putting their hope. And so there are a lot of things that build up to cause a stress and distress with one's life. We're in the midst of looking at what's us, not psychologically from a clinical view, but from the Bible. And what we're looking at is to have some fun here and make it in the human soul out of Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, called the deep. And the deep is fundamentally the mass of water, the fallen angels in the prehistoric world. He hurled them into the deep. And I got to thinking that that's what we have in our own soul. We have in our soul the deep. Some people think of it, you might think of it as a subconscious. That deep down in our soul, there's a, there's a large, deep lake, sea. And what we do, we cast the following from our scripture, from what God did. He threw the seven-headed dragon down into the deep. So the dragon's often seen as coming up out of the sea, Leviathan, a lot of these figures as we get into the book of Revelation. But Leviathan is a sea serpent, a seven-headed sea serpent in ancient Near Eastern ancient mythology. So this is coming up out of the sea. And what we're looking at is that's how we throw or cast the seven-headed dragon into the deep of our soul. We cast it down there, and then we're looking how the seven-headed deep, it rises up out of the deep in the form of stress, anxiety, and depression into our lives. What we've looked at is of our seven-headed dragon, and later on I'll pass you out a picture that Estelle found for me, a beautiful picture. I've looked at some and I didn't like them. Other seven-headed still found a good one. And so we'll have some fun with him. But what is the seven-headed dragon in our soul? Well, the first thing that we look at is fear is one of the heads of the seven-headed dragon. Then we go into anger. Anger is another head of the seven-headed dragon. We go into hatred is another dragon. We go to jealousy. Jealousy is another head of the seven-headed dragon that's in our mind. The next head with two parts, and that is guilt and shame. I'll put both of those together. And the next head also is a two-part, bitterness, resentment is another head of the... Now, ruffled, because these are kind of evident in the type of things they are. Fear, anger, hate, jealousy, guilt, shame, bitterness, revenge. But the seventh head, and I just had to put arrogance as one of the heads of the seven-headed dragon. How arrogance leads to stress, comes up in your soul, anxiety and depression because of your thought of yourself. And this shouldn't be happening to you. You ought to be able to control this. You are above you and your flesh nature. So it becomes a great source, as I've discovered, for stress, anxiety, and depression. Please open with me, and I just want to read this so you'll see where our arrogance is in the area of the seven-headed dragon inside of our soul. Look at Ezekiel 28 a moment. Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28, and what we're going to do is begin our reading in Ezekiel 28, verse 11. Ezekiel 28, verse 11. Again the word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation. Lamentation is a crying, a burden. the lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, the king of Tyre. But boy, you better be able to see that this is not a human king. This is what God is talking to, is the seven-headed dragon, Lucifer, Satan. And I show you that right here in passage. Let's follow through. You had the seal of perfection. Okay, right there we know it's not man. No man has had this. So we know that right up front. Full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Again, not referring to mankind. Verse 13 clinches it for us. You were in Eden, the garden of God. The people that contend that this does not refer to Satan, have a list, they call this just a figure of speech and all kinds of things. No, people, God is speaking to the adversary. Now, you remember Eden, I hope. Eden is this large area. We can call it a land, call it something. Eden is a garden. On the east end of Eden is a garden. And you recall that there's a one river that flows into the garden, into the earth, in the form of three rivers. And we studied all of that. So in ancient time, prehistoric time, this creature, Satan, was in Eden. Now, that's all that I wanted to establish, that we are talking about Satan. So now let's read on. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering through the various stones of the breastplate of the high priest. Which, this and a lot of things we could talk about, what part Lucifer had in the prehistoric world in representing. Okay. And the bottom of 13, the end of verse 13, and the gold, the workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. On the day that you prepared, you were the anointed cherub. Okay, that does it. We're not talking about a man. You were the anointed cherub who covers. You were on the holy mountain of God. That is, in the ancient world, if we could deal with it, there was the area of the north of the heavens, and this is the mountain of God. You were on the mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created. He was created like Adam in full form. Just boom. He was not, did not exist, and as this magnificent seal of creation of God. So he was created in this magnificence. Until unrighteousness was out of you. In other words, not right in regard to God. By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence. Note what brought about. What brought it about was the abundance of his trade. In other words, his great activities caused him to be filled with violence. What is violence here? Violence against the plan of God. And you sinned. The sin was you stopped trusting God. You stopped cooperating with God. Therefore, I, God, have cast you as profane from the mountain of God, and I have destroyed you, O covering cherub. Now, the word to destroy does not mean the sense of destroy to be not in existence, just to destroy him in his present state. From the midst of the stones of fire. Now, look at verse 17. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty, arrogance. No creature is more gorgeous than Satan. You corrupted your own wisdom by reason of your splendor. You know, people, arrogance gets in the way so often. I think almost every lady who is what we'll just call magnificently beautiful, what a challenge, because it's so easy to be lied to and taken advantage, and this is why so often very beautiful ladies have so much trouble in history, in their life. They're just so taken by their splendor that it destroys their wisdom. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I put you before kings that they may see you. By the multitude of your iniquities, in the unrighteousness of your trade, you profaned your sanctuaries. Therefore, I have brought fire from the midst of you. It has consumed you, and I have turned you to ashes on the earth in the eye of all who see you, and on and on and on. Look with me at Proverbs. Look with me at Proverbs. So the very beginning of the fall of Satan, if we want to look at it that way, of Lucifer, was arrogance, and began to bring the great turmoil in his being. Proverbs chapter 16, if you will, verse 18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. We got destruction and stumbling. These are pictures of the things that produce the stress, the anxiety, and the depression of our study. Pride is going to come before people go into depression, before they go into distress about their life. So pride goes before destruction, haughty spirit, thinking you're above everything, before stumbling. Please look with me at Jeremiah 49. Jeremiah 49. Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 16. As for the terror of you, the arrogance of your heart has deceived you. O you who live in the clefts of the rock, who occupy the height of the hill, though you make your nest as high as an eagle's, I will bring you down from there, declares the Lord. Now let's note the phrase, as for the terror of you, the arrogance of your heart has deceived you. Remember in our study of the big five in reference to our souls, and we noted how the soul is continually being corrupted. We noted how the soul, you remember what the second one was? Continually being corrupted was in Ephesians. And then we went to Jeremiah for two more. What was the second one? You remember? You don't remember? And this is the source of stress, anxiety, and depression. Look with me at Jeremiah 17. Oh, somebody, no, that's not what I, no, that's another place in Lamentations. That's there, but what's before that? Okay, and what did we just, what did you read? What did you just read? See if you can put it together. Huh? Okay, I'll help you. As the terror of you, the arrogance of your heart has deceived you. Okay, look at Jeremiah 17. It's not that far away. Deceitful. The heart. The things you have there in Jeremiah. The heart that we're talking about here. Look at Jeremiah 49. The arrogance of your heart has deceived you. So, here's the heart. And in Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitful above all else. Now let's put with all of that arrogance of our flesh nature. Here's the arrogance of our flesh nature. The flesh nature, the flesh self, so arrogant, deceitful. It's so ready to be deceived. You're so people, the easiest people to deceive are the most arrogant. let's be very base and very crass, a very gorgeous woman's easily deceived that you're madly in love with her, just to get what you want out of her, and then cast her aside. Everybody knows that story in human history. They make movies out of it. They write books about it. Shakespeare wrote about it. Beautiful woman. Don Juan, man comes along and tells her all his things and deceives her. Why is she deceived? Because of her arrogance. Because of her arrogance. She wants to believe these things. So here is the flesh self, deceitful above all else, arrogant. You put all that together and you're headed for destruction. You're headed for those things that cause stress, anxiety, and depression. Arrogance. What is an arrogant person fundamentally? An arrogant person, people, if you want to just think simply about what is arrogance, arrogance will not just trust God. Humility, on the other hand, humility is a soul that trusts God. Remember now what trust is. I've talked to you before that a marriage is not built on trust. You trust your husband, you trust your wife, you will be brought down because they will fail you. When you turn your trust, when you trust someone, what you're doing is you're giving to that person your strength. Because if you build a marriage on trust and they let you down, you collapse. How could you do this to me? Fall apart, all these kinds of things happen to people. There's only one trustworthy. Who's that? God. God is the only one trustworthy. Father, Son, Spirit. Now, think about what we're doing when we trust God. When we trust God, we are saying, I can't. I trust you totally. I have no part of being saved eternally. I can't do it. I have no part of my restoration. I can't do it out of sin. I cannot transform myself into the image of your Son. I trust you totally. I'm totally out of the picture. I am totally weak. This is why a lot of people who are arrogant can't walk by faith. This is why a lot of unbelievers will not be saved simply by faith in Christ and faith alone. This is why Christians fight against being restored simply by faith. They want to have a part of it. The arrogance of self says, I've got to have a part of it. Humility says, I have no part. All I can do is trust Him to do this for me. Look at Obadiah. Ha ha! You can find Obadiah. I'll tell you where it is if you know the Bible in it at all. It's listed with the minor prophets. You got a whole lot, sir, 8 minor prophets in there. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel are your major. What is the difference between major and minor? The difference is the major books, the major prophets wrote longer. It's not like major in importance. I don't like that theological term that we give them, major prophets and minor prophets. One just spoke longer and more, and the other spoke less. So look at, everybody find Obadiah? Got to find out about Obadiah, what it means, what his name means, where it is in the Bible, and these types of things. But it's a small little book. But look what it says, Obadiah, chapter 1, and verse 3. Obadiah, that's what a table of contents is for. Don't be worried about it. Table of contents. Obadiah 1:3. The arrogance of your heart has deceived you. The heart is deceitful above all else. They were arrogant, and the arrogance of the heart has deceived you. Deceived you into thinking that you can make it without trusting God. Somehow you can do something to help God save you, some way you can do something to help God restore you from sin. That's deception. And all people that think they're saved by their works, by some performance, by a ritual, by joining a church, by whatever it is, lordship, salvation, all these things, they're deceived. And the soul wants to be deceived. It's a very arrogant soul. So arrogance brings on and adds to our whole study of this seven-headed dragon. Now, Let's go from there. You have things that happen in your soul, in your life, and we respond to it from the flesh. We respond to it in the flesh. Fear, which I'm going to show you how it's related to depression, anger, hate, jealousy, guilt and shame, bitterness, revenge, arrogance. Most Christians know that these things are wrong, but what do we do with them? That's the kicker. And what most Christians were going to see, they cast them down into this deep of the soul. So we either explode with them and they control our life, or we deal with them properly, or we cast them down into the deep of the soul. Until we properly deal with them, Satan has a stronghold in our lives. This is why it is so important to deal with these strongholds. Now, people, stay with me. From last week and this week, stay with me, because last week we introduced the strongholds. The strongholds, the fortresses. The fortresses of the soul. There are a lot of passages that talk about the fortresses, the stronghold of the soul, so that you just see it in Scripture. I'm not ready to study it, but I do want you to see it right now, what's going on with you. If you're listening to this tape and you're going through a lot of depression, it's difficult, I know, to concentrate and to think, but that's what you've got to start doing in the midst of a great adversity and suffering, is to start thinking, and that's what I want to help you do. So I'd like you, if you will, just look with me. We're not going to study it now, but look with me at 2 Corinthians 10 just for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, so that you'll at least see what I'm talking about in the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, please. Now, we're going to study this because it's important to what's going on inside of you. It's important to getting rid of stress, anxiety, and depression. But let's just read it tonight. For though we walk in the flesh, meaning here Paul uses the natural use of the word flesh, meaning in this body here on earth. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the things of the flesh. Verse 3. Sorry if I didn't say it. Thank you. Verse 3. For though we walk, meaning we live here on earth in this flesh body, we do not war according to the things of the flesh. We're going to study this because it's so important for stress and depression. For the weapons of our warfare that produces stress, anxiety, depression, are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. So I want you to see what I'm talking about here when I say and talk about and mention fortresses. And we might as well start tonight with getting a little understanding of what a stronghold or a fortress is. So let me give that to you tonight. Let me give you what a stronghold, because we've introduced it. Now remember what the stronghold or fortress is. Here's your soul. And inside of your soul are these strongholds. And Satan uses these strongholds, people. And the world and the flesh uses these strongholds to destroy you, to drain you from life, to keep you from walking who you are in Christ, even believing who you are in Christ. There are strongholds that are in your very soul. And here they are. There's a stronghold in the soul. Now, try to concentrate with me, because I'm going to give you a little definition of what a stronghold is. A stronghold, as far as our study is concerned, is an immaterial structure. A stronghold is an immaterial structure that you build. You build in your mind, your soul. A stronghold is an immaterial structure you build in your mind or soul through, here's a long word, but not a difficult word, but a long word, a lot of letters, persuasiveness. Persuasiveness means the being persuaded by something. The persuasiveness of argument by Satan's lie. The persuasiveness of the argument by Satan's lie. A stronghold inside of everyone's soul, and everyone has a stronghold, is an immaterial structure built inside of your soul, and it's built through the persuasiveness of the argument of Satan's lie. Now, what is the argument of Satan's lie? The argument of Satan's lie is that your self-worth equals what? First. I'm sorry?
Your performance.
Performance, first. Your performance plus, secondly, others' opinion of you. Certain other opinion of you. Now, let's take a look. A stronghold in your soul is an immaterial structure built in your mind through the persuasiveness of the argument of Satan's lie in order to divert your mind from being who you are in Christ. That's inside of you. Why is it so hard for some of you tonight to keep your mind focused on the things above? Why is it so hard sometimes, so difficult to walk by faith in the day and the night and it gets dark and you're alone? Why is it so hard to keep your mind steadfast on Him? Remember our study in Isaiah? The mind that is stayed on Him, He, God, will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in Him. But God, I just can't do that very long. We studied how people think that stress, anxiety, and depression are involuntary. But we found a wonderful reality in that they're not involuntary. Stress, anxiety, and depression are preceded by your thinking. You think it first. That's not bad news. Don't become arrogant and think, now that means it's all my fault and I'm bad and horrible. No, accept this as good news. Because if it's something that's coming from you, that means you can stop it. You can break that habit. But, oh God, people, those of you that either right now listen to tape or right here, whatever, will be listening to it, you get into such depression. And it does seem like it's involuntary. This preacher doesn't know what he's talking about because there's nothing I can do about this. It is so powerful, this depression, this stress, this thing that's going on in my soul that keeps me from just trusting Him. Okay, where does that come from? I want to help you spiritually. I don't care clinically, psychologically. Leave that to the psychologist, or if you don't have the money, read Lucy of the series of Peanuts and she'll help you. But let's us deal with it from the Bible. That was supposed to have been funny. Let us deal with it from the Bible. What's going on inside of us? People, we build these strongholds inside of our soul. It may be plural. We build these strongholds inside of our soul from the persuasiveness. And by that means, we are so persuaded by Satan's lie that Satan's lie is true. That my self-worth is my performance. And I'm just so convinced that my performance and my parents have convinced me, my wife, my husband, society, the preacher, that I'm a loser, that I'm no good, that I'll never make it, that I just can't perform, I can't measure up. Others' opinion, my parents' opinion, my husband's opinion, my wife, my children, my parents, my preacher, people at the church, wherever it may be. And we're so persuaded by all of this of Satan's lie, that we build a stronghold against the truth. Because the whole machination of this, the whole creation of this stronghold, has one thing in mind: to build something so strong inside of you, you will not believe who you are in Christ. This stronghold is so strongly built inside your soul, it's like a fortress on a hilltop that can't be taken. And it just stops you from going on believing who you are in Christ. The Israelites went through, crossed the Red Sea, all the things that God provided, came to Jordan, and they looked across, and what did they see? They saw all the giants and the strongholds. Well, look at that. They saw the fortresses, and it put fear in them. What's the number one head of the seven-headed dragon? What's the number one head?
Fear.
They saw those strongholds over there and were afraid. And what did that stop them from doing? It stopped them from walking across Jordan. People, they saw everything God had already done. But they saw those fortresses. And they went into fear and would not trust God. Would not trust God. Came back talking about those fortresses. If you had the faith of the grain of the mustard seed, you'd say to that mountain, and what's that mountain? Where's that mountain? And we studied that. It's in your soul. You'd cast it into the sea. And it would leave. Where's that fortress? That fortress is what we're talking about. And the study we just did, the verses we just read in 2 Corinthians, people, it's in your soul. And it's strong. And it's so strong a fortress that you will just seemingly you can't believe who you are in Christ and live it and walk. You sin, you fail. And Christians like Job's three friends attack and crush your soul. You're unworthy. You put in your life. You never seem to get ahead. Everything's going on. Your marriage, it, just your whole life. I just can't trust God. I can't walk by faith. And this will cause some people to think, oh, it just must be God has selected those who are going to walk by faith and those who are not. I didn't know this, and I don't know it for a fact experientially myself. I'm being told by different sources that the rise of hyper-Calvinism is coming into Christendom very powerfully right now today. And we might have to spend some time, if I find that to be true. That calls us to study the whole book of Revelation because of the Left Behind series. Now, if there's a whole movement for hyper-Calvinism, we'll have to take a look and see what's going on with it. But you just get so depressed and so stressed out that you can't just keep it up. It just seems like I'll stay in there for about maybe a minute or two, and then this other is just so overwhelming. What is it that we're talking about is so overwhelming? The soul. And we want to learn how to break the stronghold down. That's when we'll come back to that Corinthians passage. Don't worry about it right now. We'll get to it in the proper way. But please get in your mind what the stronghold that Satan uses in your soul and where it came from. A stronghold, immaterial structure built in, you build in your mind, your soul, through the persuasiveness of the argument of Satan's lie. The mind from believing who you are in Christ, from being who you are in Christ, living who you are in Christ. Therefore not having the peace that we talk about in Isaiah. The mind stayed on Him. He, God, will keep in perfect peace. God, I'd love to have that peace. God, I'm not... People are saying for happiness. I'm not even going to ask God for happiness. I'm not looking for money, prosperity. So, God, if I could just have some peace in my heart, my soul. Life is such a burden. I just would take the peace. What's stopping us from the peace? These strongholds in the soul. What's stopping us from moving on in the plan of God and living who we are in Christ? These fortresses. And I'm sorry, but Christians will use them to keep you down. Christians are vicious. If it wasn't for eternity, I wouldn't be one. They're so bad in today's world. But if we understand where it becomes something very powerful and very wonderful. So, these fortresses start being built up in our soul in our childhood from the way they control, and you can't make the grade, and you're not good enough, and you're not pretty enough, and you're not a good enough athlete, you don't perform enough, sexual abuse, verbal abuse, things like you're a loser, you're a failure, you're never going to make it, you're never going to perform. Your self-worth and your grades and all of this starts building these strongholds of Satan's lie. Rather than being persuaded by the truth of God, the flesh self builds these strongholds from Satan's lie. That's keeping a lot of Christians. I don't care what your circumstances are. It keeps a lot of Christians from living to their peace. God can give you the sin of peace without changing your circumstances. I'm not giving you a lie. I'm not saying God's going to wave full again. Your husband's going to turn into the guy that you thought you were marrying. Your wife's going to all of a sudden turn into this wonderful, submissive, gorgeous, submissive. I'm not saying all of a sudden all your bills are going to be gone and you'll have money to go lie on the beach in Florida. I'm not saying that at all. In fact, our marriage, circumstances, the past, the present, but you'll have this peace. You'll have this peace, this perfect peace. You won't experience stress, anxiety, and depression, and He hasn't touched the circumstances of your life. All He's done, as we're going to see, we break down these strongholds, and you'll start trusting Him. You'll walk by faith in who you are in Christ, what He's done for you. Now, these things start happening in our life. This is where the seven-headed dragon comes into play. The seven-headed dragon starts playing now in our life. Start developing. A lot of people are afraid to live. A lot of Christians are afraid to get a job that they'd like to have. Go out there and take a chance here and go do that and do this. They hide. They draw back. They keep drawing back because of things that happened in their childhood, because of things happening in their life. Live in fear. Comes from our flesh nature, corrupted, deceitful, wounded, insane, full of evil, all those things we study. So we go into this fear and the shame and the guilt of our life that we can't measure up, of Satan, the stronghold that Satan has in our life, and the fear of everything in life starts coming in, the guilt and shame. It's all your fault. No matter how many times you tell someone it's not their fault that they were raped as a child, how many times you tell them it's not their fault that this is happening or that is happening, they're not going to believe that. What are they like? They're like our girl that we started our study with that has anorexia and looks in the mirror. And she sees an overweight woman and she weighs 93 pounds all wet. So you're not going to convince her. You are not going to convince that woman, that girl, that she is not fat. Overweight, ugly. She is convinced of it, and that's the way she's going to live. She's so fearful. And this is what happens inside of us in our Christian life. You tell them it's not their fault. People, what the churches have done that teach this confession thing out of the context of 1 John 1:9, and in context, it is a fabulous truth. But we take it out of context. You have people trying to confess things that aren't even a sin. And they can't get their life straightened up. Trying to find some shame and some guilt and some reason that this happened to them. Or they go into hate against their parents, hate against their husband or wife, hate against the world and against the circumstances they're going on to. Fear of choosing one. This whole thing we live in today, people, of divorce, is bringing us into the third millennium with a whole mass of children that are carrying in their soul the guilt, the shame, the fear, picking one parent over the other, loving one parent more than the other. It's just not natural to the nature of father and mother in us that God gave us. And now you're forcing this little child to make this choice. Hate the mother. Hate the father. Your father's no good. Your mother's no good. They've done this. They've done that. Screw it up their mind. Building a stronghold in their soul. Building a stronghold of fear, of hate, anger, guilt, shame. All of these things start coming into the soul and are being pressed down into the deep. And as we're going to see, they come up in the form of this evil, in the form of stress, depression, anxiety. Start getting a little older in life. Mass number of people today have great trouble loving and being loved. Being loved. I'm not worthy to be loved. I might try to love someone, but I'm not worthy to be loved. So you shut people out. What's happening in you? Emotions, thoughts, actions that shock even you. It happens in so many people's lives. People, you're mature. Pay attention. You're mature in all areas of your life. Work. Boy, you go to work, you can do a man-sized job. Ladies, meaning just a yeoman's share of the work. You can think, you can produce, you can work, doctor, lawyer, a school teacher, whatever you do, you're good. You're really good. You're mature. A lot of areas of life. But there's one little area of your life. That stronghold is touched. You act like a little child. You act like what? Insane. Remember what the flesh nature is? Insane. And that comes out. And it shocks people. It shocks them. This is one area of your life. All the other areas you're so good. But in one area of your life, in this area, so immature. And it seems like it's involuntary actions and feelings that jump up inside of you to produce stress, anxiety, and depression. While all the other areas, you're just perfectly fine. You can do things that other people can't do. Some things. You can be a fireman. We're real high thinking about firemen right now. You can do that. You can go into a fire, something that most of us wouldn't even think about doing. Are you crazy? Fire! Yeah, but there's somebody inside. Well, I'll pray for them. You know? But no, what do? You charge right into that blazing smoke and the fire. You find the body, the person. You bring them back out. Maybe it's even just a pet. You bring them out. And the rest of us are standing here applauding. What unbelievable. We're just ready to praise. There's an area in your life to act like a little immature child. You're a policeman who puts your life on the line every time you go leave the police station. But there's an area in your life so immature. You're a preacher, deacon, Christian. It's these areas where it just seems like you're so immature. Where's all of that come from? Why can't I beat that? What is going on inside? I have no control over it. Yes, you do. I'll show you that. But all I want us to begin to feel and understand is what's happening. These strongholds, people, that are building up inside of our soul, these fortresses that give Satan and the flesh and the world this control over us and pull you down so that you won't believe who you are in Jesus Christ. You won't believe and live what God has in store for you. People try to handle all of these things, try in the flesh. So important, that passage in Corinthians again. If you have your Bible still open to the 2 Corinthians, do you? Yeah. Look at 2 Corinthians. Let's just read it because I want to study it. But it just says everything that I want to kind of sneak up on you at. And then we'll work on it. But verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh and live in the flesh here, we do not carry on war according to the flesh. War, what's the war? The spiritual warfare we're talking about. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, things of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. People, it's divine power inside of you. You're not going to do this on your own. Arrogance thinks they can. You're not going to do this on your own. The John Waynes think they can. And they're deceived. We have something given to us, a divine power. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. The speculations, I'll show you that these speculations, that's the Satan's lie, people. About yourself. About what we're dealing with. Verse 5, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing. Remember how we're doing it with divinely given things. Raised up against the knowledge of God, who you are in Christ. And we are taking every thought captive into the obedience of Christ, who is at the right hand of God the Father. So people, what I want you to see is these strongholds, these fortresses rise up inside of you, and what comes out of them is stress, anxiety, and depression. It's what's coming out of us inside. So our flesh reacts to things that are going on. We have all of the seven-headed dragon. We cast the seven-headed dragon into the deep. Let's turn the page here. We cast it into the deep of our soul. We built a stronghold in our soul. And then it comes up inside of us as stress, anxiety, and depression, distress. All these things in our life all come up. And I'll show you how this works with all of these various things cast down into the deep, forming a stronghold, and it come up. And you never gain control of your life, and you never have the happiness. Never have the joy God wants you to have. It just seems like I can't do it. People, please understand what's going on. There's a stronghold inside of you. And consider this good news. Don't say, no. This is good news because it means we can do something about it. The more we understand what's happening inside of us, the more we understand what faith will do, the more you don't have to be distressed about your life, your circumstances. You don't have to worry. You don't have to go into all of these things. That's what we want to do as we walk through getting rid of stress, anxiety, and depression. So we will begin here next week, and we're going to look at these, what these things do, how, what is jealousy, what is anger, what is hate, what is bitterness, and then we want to look at this passage. Again, we're not spending a lot of time on any one passage, but enough time to let it sink in. And if you keep a notebook, those of you that are really hurting and distressed, it's these verses and how we built them. They're orchestrated. And as you build these verses up and put them down, they build into how you're going to live a life free. Stress and anxiety and depression. How you're going to be who you are in Christ. With all of the energy, all the enjoyment of life, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how your human dreams are not working out, you can still enjoy life and not have a depression. And people, you're a joy to be with and you're a joy to be around, because no matter what's going on around you, you're not always complaining, bitching, and belly aching and hurting and stressed out and depressed. You've taken care of all of that in a spiritual way. We're in a war. And in that war, we're going to get stress, anxiety, depression if we don't tear down these fortresses inside of us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Wow, what a God you are, Heavenly Father. Father, this life just does get overbearing. And when we live and go through so many things in life that life throws at us and build these fortresses, that is persuasiveness of Satan's lie. They just sink inside of us and build inside of us so strong a fortress we can't even believe who we are in Christ. And therefore, then when we can't do that, become so depressed, so stressed. It's all our fault. We got to do it all. Father, I pray you take these things, make them real in people's souls that hurt. We're not talking about eternal life. They have that. Talking about daily life. Talking about getting up in the morning and going to bed at night. Pray you make these things real. We can see as easy as our eternal life salvation, as easy and simple as our recovery from sin, that's how easy it is to live a life free of stress and depression and enjoy life. Enjoy others. Enjoy this wonderful journey that you've given to us. Father, we praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.